Melinda Palacio was born and raised in South Central L.A. She now lives in Santa Barbara and New Orleans. She is a 2007 Penn Center USA Emerging Voices Rosenthal Fellow and a 2009 Poetry Alum of the Squaw Valley Community of Writers. Her poetry chapbook, Folsom Lockdown, won the 2009 Sense of Place Award. Her debut novel, Ocotillo Dreams, won the Mariposa Award for Best First Book at the 14th International Latino Book Awards and the 2012 Penn Oakland Josephine Miles Award. She also writes a column for La Bloga. How Fire is a Story Waiting is her first full-length poetry book. Melinda, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. How did you get into this business of writing to begin with?
I started writing for newspapers and magazines. I was a news assistant at the Arizona Republic with crafty chica Kathy Murillo, and we were in the features department. And at some point, I started writing articles, and then later, when I moved back to Santa Barbara, I started writing poetry and fiction.
You just started doing it?
No, well, I think having a background in literature, I was always interested in reading and writing. But I wrote about books. I wrote about other people's lives. And my mother passed away in 1994. And writing, at that point, I started writing more personal poetry and fiction. It was a way to get out of a very deep depression I was in.
So it was kind of therapy and catharsis for you,
yes,
writing.
Yes, and I believe a lot of people come into writing that way. It was one way to sort of see the world from a different perspective.
I love your voice. And I don't just mean your written voice. I've read your novel, Ocotillo Dreams, which was a fantastic debut novel. And I've read your book of poems, which we're talking about today, How Fire is a Story Waiting. But I mean your actual voice. When I hear you talk, it's as if there resonates the ancestors within your voice, although you're very, very young. And after reading this book and after reading the novel, it occurs to me that your ancestors, especially your female ancestors, are very, very important to your sense of self and your spirituality and your creativity.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that lovely compliment. It's funny that the aspect about my voice, our friend Sergio Troncoso.
Oh, yes, we know Sergio. He's a very good friend of ours.
He told me, he said, I want to have your laughter as my ringtone.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
So one of these days, we're going to make that happen. At first, I thought, well, that's really strange, but the idea is starting to grow on me, so I would love to gift that to him.
Speak about your grandmother, and speak about your mother, and speak about how the spirituality of the Latina, of the Mexican woman, has influenced your way of seeing.
That's a very important point. The book is dedicated to my grandmother. I grew up in her house. My mother was very young when she had me. She was 19. Mm-hmm. We grew up as sisters, and we did everything together. She was also my best friend. We had a very close relationship. It was so beautiful and powerful that I think I am, as you said, just crowded. My soul is crowded with ancestors. And so it's when I go to places, you know, I now realize I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And I recently went to visit my grandmother. We talk on the phone. She lives in Del Rio. We talk on the phone often, and a lot of the inspiration for the poetry and even some stories come out of our conversations. And I call some of my poems found poems because she'll just start saying something. And sometimes she has these familiar stories that she repeats over and over, and I'll write them down, and that'll be my poem.
And you said something very interesting. You said that your life was crowded with ancestors. It's a very interesting way to put that, because it makes it seem like it's not always such a great thing.
Yeah, well, I think the word crowded creeps out because I grew up in a crowded house. My grandmother had 12 children. It was sort of a race to see, well, who's going to get to eat first?
do you think that growing up in such circumstances made you want to find more space for yourself? And that's part of what made you a writer?
Yes, I think, and also this idea, getting back to this idea of crowded, that there's also the competing heritages that I have, because my father's from Panama and my mother's Mexican. And sometimes my Mexican tios would sort of oust me for having been Panamanian. And then when I would go and visit, on the rare occasions when I would visit my Panamanian family, they would say things like, se le sale todo lo mexicano.
Right.
Would make fun of my Mexican accent. And then when I went to visit cousins on the other side of the border in Acuña, they would make fun of my Spanish because they'd say, oh, ay que pocha. They would just make fun of my pronunciation because I grew up in Los Angeles.
You were caught between three cultures instead of two, which is what most Chicanos experience.
Well, as I said in one of my poems, so nice to be hated by both sides.
Melinda, let's talk a little bit specifically about How Fire is a Story Waiting, which is your new collection of poems put out by Teatrucha Press, which is the press founded by Luis J. Rodriguez. You have it split up into four sections, and those four sections are fire, air, water, earth, the four elements. Can you tell us what that means to you and to the book in particular?
Yes, the fire section are mostly poems about childhood and growing up and heat. There's physical fire, such as in How Fire is a Story Waiting, the title poem. And then the air section is heavy on my travels to different places. The water section has a lot of poems about water, crossing water. There's a lot of poems about New Orleans. And the earth section is mostly poems about death.
At what point in writing this book did you know you were going to put it in these four sections?
I think the title poem sort of gave me the idea to divide up. And also when I was looking at the collection as a whole, it seemed very natural to me to have those elements. And it's sort of a gift in the way that titles come to you, or in the way that once you finish a book, or if you're looking for the name of a character, and it kind of all comes together. And that's how this came together.
When you're writing poems and putting a book together, that process for you, is it very, very difficult, or does it just flow?
The difficult part is sitting down. After I sit down, because I move around a lot and I live in two different places, so once I sit down and start writing, I have a nice flow and things do flow, and I write very quickly. Sometimes I'll be on deadline for La Bloga and it'll be Thursday and the hours, it's getting later and later, and my post needs to be up by just a little past midnight every other Friday. So sometimes I procrastinate. I wait till the very last minute, and I'm writing it really fast. And I do that because I know I can get it done quickly. I write very quickly once I sit down.
But do you do that with poetry as well as your articles on La Bloga?
Yeah, sometimes when I sit down to write a poem, I want to bring a poem to Sundays when I'm in New Orleans. There's poetry reading at the Maple Leaf Bar, and there's a featured reader, and last Sunday I was the featured reader, and then there's an open mic. And so I would try to bring a new poem. And when I'm in Santa Barbara, I have a group called the Santa Barbara Sunday Poets, and we meet once a month, and so I want to bring in something new for that. And usually when I submit to things, I'm thinking, if there's a poem that sort of gets rejected often, I think, well, maybe it's time to take that one out and write a new one. Mm-hmm. So when I sit down and do it, yeah, it does. And the reason why I'm able to write quickly is because I keep a notebook with me, and I jot down ideas. So I never come to a blank page. I always have something, whether it's a word or a little line that happened or something that I saw. And having that little notebook with just a few scribbles is very important to me, because then it's sort of back to this idea of crowding oneself with images. You're not alone, and you're not coming to things blank or by yourself.
So tell me, Melinda, what are you working on now? What's your next project?
I'm working on a new novel, and I'm always working on new poems and new articles for La Bloga, and Claudia Hernandez is doing a project on revolutionary women, and she asked me to participate, so sometime within the next couple of weeks, I will get an essay to her on being a woman, a revolutionary woman. And my new book is really a project that I knew that I'd always would work on, because it's set in the 60s. It's set during my mom's time. And so it's a road trip that begins in East L.A. in the 60s. So it's been fun to research.
We're talking to Melinda Palacio, author of Ocotillo Dreams, the novel, and her new book, How Fire is a Story Waiting, a book of poems. Melinda, a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, nobody even knew who you were. And after 2 years, everybody in the Latino writing community knows who you are. I mean, you are just a part of the community, a very important part of the community. You're very active in La Bloga and AWP, and you do readings all over the place. And you are the quintessential new Chicana writer, Latina writer. How do you do it? How do you get out there and promote your book and get yourself so out there? What is it that you, how do you do that? Because you're a really good role model when it comes to that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I started talking about books that I would have before I even had anything written on the page. This was when I had some scribblings, I had a few poems, and I would meet people and I'd tell them, I have a book.
I remember meeting you at AWP before your book came out, and you told me about it, and you bought my book, and you were very, very kind and very enthusiastic.
So that's something that I've always done. It. And yeah, I was thinking about this question. It sort of occurred to me, and I just thought about this in the past couple months, that my mother was training me how to market my work.
Oh, wow. How's that?
Because she was a member of AMED, the Association of Mexican American Educators. And when I was 8 years old, she would put me to sell buttons on the street, to sell T-shirts, to get signatures, and everything would go to funding scholarships for high school students to go to college. So it was training on on how to sell your book, how to sell your what you're working on, how to be friendly and talk to people and not be shy. And so I was thinking, you know, Blanca is responsible for teaching me promotions before the word self-promotion was, or the expression was in vogue. Plus, I have all the stories from my grandmother and the stories also from my father that were in the chapbook, Folsom Lockdown.
Melinda, every time we have a poet on our show, we always have a poem of the week. So we're going to ask you to end our interview to end with a poem from your book.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'd like to end with the title poem because it was published in Border Senses.
Oh, that's our local El Paso journal, started by our friend Amit Ghosh.
Yes. It was the first poem that I had published 6 years ago.
Nice.
And this is How Fire is a Story Waiting. My grandmother caught the flame in her thick hands, curled fingers made nimble by kaleidoscope embers. Fire burns hot and cold if you know where to touch it, she said. I watched the red glow spit and wiggle as it snaked down the thin timber, a striptease born out of the festive sound of a half-filled matchbox, through orange windows framed by obsidian eyes. I saw the child she once was, a little girl who raised herself because her mother had a coughing disease. Blood on her mother's handkerchief didn't stop her from dreaming. Maria Victoria was going to be a singer with her deep cinnamon stick voice. She watched novellas in the kitchen while waiting for dough to rise. Her body, heavy with worry for two families and three lifetimes, she tucked mariachi dreams under her girdle. Lullabies escaped on mornings warmed by her songs falling into gas burners turned on high. The flame on a stove was never the same. It had a bad hangover. Didn't remember the many matches lit when its starter broke down. My grandmother rolled paper into a funnel, stole fire from the pilot to light the stubborn burner on the right. Crimson burned blue on the white paper, its folded edges curled black like lace ruffle on a skirt. The finicky flame can't comment on its magic. The thousands of tortillas and pancakes cooked over the years. How I burned myself roasting a hot dog campfire style. How a melted pencil smudged under my sister's eyelid makes her beautiful. My grandmother noticed the time, almost noon. She needed to make 3 dozen tortillas to feed her family of 13. The show over, she blew the match into a swirl of gray squiggles, snuffed it before it had a chance to burn hot on her finger. Funny how fire is a story waiting.
Thank you, Melinda, for that poem, and thank you for being on our show, Words on a Wire.
Thank you.